puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And that music heralds the arrival of Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society, here with another episode of Abandoned Manitoba. Hi, Gordon. Welcome back.
Good morning, Terry.
Now, you left a very cryptic hint last weekend, and I loved it, actually. It was, this is about a place called Flea Island. There's no fleas and there's no island. What's that mean?
Well, I meant flea in a different context. I meant flea as in to escape from something. And island, well, I'm not even sure where that really comes from. The spot is actually a circular trench with an area in the middle. So I guess you could think of it maybe as an island, but not an island like anyone else would think of.
Where is Flea Island?
It's just on the south end of Lake Manitoba, north of Porter's La Prairie, about 10 miles or so. And it's an area that back about 150 years ago was an area where some indigenous people from Minnesota retreated to. So they fled to that spot.
And so why did they flee from Minnesota to that part of south of Lake Manitoba?
Well, unfortunately, in 1862, there was something called the Dakota War.
Oh, yes. I've heard of this.
Right. Central Minnesota. And indigenous people who had been, I think, rather severely treated by the American authorities finally rebelled and killed some white settlers. And in the aftermath, the American government decreed that they were going to treat these people. So the American military rounded up a bunch of people. And in December of 1862, they carried out what was the largest mass execution in American history at Mankato, Minnesota.
Minnesota, near
38.
Near the Twin Cities.
That's
huh?
right. 38 yeah. people were hanged. The people who were left felt that they didn't have much future in the United States. And because they felt they would get a better reception in Canada, because their people had actually supported the British back in the War of 1812, that they thought that what they called the Great White Mother, which was their term for Queen Victoria, would be more receptive to them. So they came north to what we now think of as Manitoba and established camps on the shore of Lake Manitoba.
And these were Dakota people, right?
The Dakota is one word. They are also sometimes called the Sioux. So I think either term can be used.
I was talking to a Dakota man a couple of weeks ago about this very event, but he didn't mention Flea Island.
No. Well, I'm not sure how many people were involved. It was probably not more than a few hundred at most that came to this particular part of Manitoba. There was others that probably went elsewhere. But they set up camps, and they were probably there because of the fishing and the hunting opportunities. I mean, it is right next to Lake Manitoba, and there is quite a plentiful fishery there. Likewise, of course, they're close to the prairies. It was an open area. There would have been bison and other game for them to hunt. But because it was their cultural practice to create sort of an encampment, the word I'm told is chunkashke, which is sort of a palisaded fort. That would be served to protect them against the elements, against wild animals, but maybe most importantly, against potential enemies, that they established these sort of camps on the edge of the Delta Marsh, which is on the south end of Lake Manitoba.
What became of these people who had fled to Flea Island?
Well, these camps themselves probably didn't last very long after they were established. They actually were established in 1864. We even know almost to the week when they were excavated, because they were described in the local newspapers that the people said that they were building these sort of enforced areas where they could protect themselves. And but they were not used for very long, because the excavations were later carried out in the 1970s by the provincial government, and it doesn't show any evidence of further activity, like of further excavation, or there was no there was, for example, a battle that was fought, a very brief battle in which six Dakota people were killed, but there was no spent ammunition found. So the feeling was that they were used for a brief time and then were abandoned. But the people that created them are still here. They're still with us.
There are a number of Dakota communities.
Absolutely. In fact, near Porter's La Prairie, which is probably where many of these people may have ended up, we have the Dakota Teepee and the Dakota Plains First Nations, so both of which could be the descendants of these people who built these entrenchments.
So if a person wanted to find this site, Flea Island, mm-hmm. how would they go about doing that?
Well, you have to look very carefully. I, in fact, had driven by this site numerous times and never really paid much attention, because it's pretty inconspicuous. Mind you, it's partly because the place has changed so radically since it was first created. At one time, of course, it would be open prairie. The wildfires would have kept any trees from growing. And now, because we've been suppressing fire for so long, the area is rather overgrown. There's a lot of poplars and shrubs and things. So a little different than what it looked like then. Then it would have been a large circular area. I mean, large. They were anywhere from apparently from about 150 feet in diameter to 300 feet in diameter, sort of a trench. Now, today, they're only about anywhere from a foot to maybe 3 feet deep, but they may have been deeper when they were first created, and they've just sort of filled in through time. But because they're so much overgrown and they're just a little bit – well, the ones in particular I'm thinking of are right south of Highway 227 as you're heading west, north of Portage la Prairie. I've driven by it numerous times and never really paid it much attention until I suddenly realized that there was this aspect of our history, and I went looking for them. And it turns out they're there, and but there are others as well. There's at least, apparently, I'm told, three sites in this general vicinity where there are these entrenchments.
Are they marked?
Yes. In fact, two of them are recognized as provincial historic sites. The one along Highway 227 actually has a monument commemorating these Flea Island entrenchments.
Fascinating stuff. Gordon, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And next week when you're back?
Next week's site, we'll say, will appeal to French-speaking farmers.
Okay. Before you go, though, early this morning we did a little piece about Downton Abbey and the end of Downton Abbey. You're an historian. Was Downton Abbey one of your favorites?
Absolutely loved it. Couldn't get enough.
Really? And how diligently did you watch it?
The principle of binge watching. Well, we would binge watch for hours at a time, and I loved the richness of the detail. You know, although the action was, of course, what you watched it for, I was also interested in the backgrounds. You know, the detail that made it so appealing to me.
How do you think they did on the historical component of it? Because it starts off with the sinking of the Titanic.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the detail is pretty accurate. I mean, the general details, of course, of the First World War and how it affected people in the nobility, you know, and the conversion of Downton Abbey over to a hospital. I think that was the sort of thing that did happen. So I think in general terms, it was a very accurate portrayal.
Alrighty. Thanks, Gordon. See you next week.
Yep.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.